You're listening to South Florida's Good News Station, WCNO Palm City.
This is God's plan for redemption, and it's good news.
Come out of the world, oh my people.
Welcome to Torah Life Ministries, teaching about the instructions of our Creator and putting His Word into action. From suffering well to living a blessed life, looking forward to the hope and future that awaits true believers of the faith. Welcome to the show with your host, Paul Nisan.
Hello, everybody, and welcome. If you're just joining us, I want to talk about this very important subject that I think is going over people's heads. And it's a big problem today. Many, many people, many of you are suffering physically, physical ailments. And I know a lot of lectures I give talk about suffering well, and sometimes we're going to suffer, and the path of becoming a believer doesn't end when we accept Yeshua, just beginnings, and there's a lot of hardships that are going to come in our lives and things like this. But we can't use that as an excuse to not respect our temples and our tabernacles that Yahweh had given us. And this is the problem we have today. The people today are not taking responsibility to the call that Yahweh has created. And it's very sad. It's very sad to see what's going on. This up here. Yeah, it's very sad to see what's happening. You know, there's a church down the block than me, and I went there once because my children had a summer camp there or something else where they went. And so somehow I got signed up for their newsletter. And I kid you not, I get an email every week. Every week I get an email of somebody who passed away or somebody who died in that particular congregation or that assembly. And it's like, what is going on here? You know, yes, there are situations where Yahweh's people are going to suffer, and there's situations where we're going to suffer from disease, and it's not always for our unrighteousness. It's not always for our disobedience. But we have to be careful here. I've been invited to speak at many places one time. They often don't invite me back. And by me giving a certain message that people aren't ready to hear, it's for one thing if one person doesn't want to hear it. When the whole congregation has an issue hearing something, you know, the question might be, is it me? Is it something that I'm saying that's out of line with Scripture or something else? And I don't believe so when it comes to these topics. I think that people's hearts are just too hard to hear it, and you know, and but I'm at a, you know, this place where I don't want to stop telling people these things, but people say, oh well, that's just adding to Scripture. If it's not, and you know, there are those literalists, right? Well, I don't know the best way to call them or say them, but the people say, well, you know, Torah, or the first five books of the Bible, is where Yahweh's commandments are. And according to 1 John, it says sin is transgression of the Torah. So if it is not in the Torah, if the Torah doesn't say that something is a sin, and you say it's wrong, well, then you're adding to Scripture. And technically, you might be correct, because Torah is transgression of the law. However, we need not to negate the principle of the law or the idea of the law. For example, there's no scripture in the Torah that says smoking crack or cocaine is a sin. There's no scripture that says using a microwave oven is a sin. there's no scripture that specifically says using certain curse words are a sin. But we know the principles of scripture and the character of Messiah, that these things do not edify us. They do not help us. And they're not good for us. But can we still call them a sin? Listen, however you want to title these things, whatever you want to call these things, there's a certain way we need to be living. And we have to understand, if we claim we do the creation picture, and we understand that our Creator created us. And just as two parents create a baby, you do not want to treat them or their bodies or whatever. You want to be their caretakers, right? You want to treat them in a special way. So, you know, it's almost, you know, a crime, a criminal act, abuse, to put something in a baby's body that will literally kill them, right? Well, what about the things we're putting in our children's bodies that are killing them? Where is the excuse where that's okay? Well, it's not a sin to give our children ice cream, because it doesn't say in the Bible, in the Torah, there's no sin to give our children ice cream. Where is the idea of that Yahweh created our bodies? You know, and we are His child, He's our Father, to respect our this holy temple that He's given us. Where is our conscience of what we put in our bodies? And James 4:17 says, to know good and not do it to him, it is sin. To know good and not do it to him, it is sin. You can only use that excuse as long as you have not heard something. Then once you hear it and reject it, that's another thing. And then there are people that say, well, I hear different opinions about certain things, so I'm going to listen to this opinion. No, you're looking for an excuse to continue in your addictions and things that you know aren't good for you. I speak at congregations and assemblies, and I go there and I give messages about certain things, how to edify ourselves, how to edify our bodies. I speak on the external and the internal. And I talk about the food we put in our mouths, in our bodies, or whatever you want to call certain of the chemicals we put in your body. I can't show it more clearly. And I have people come up to me that say they know the scriptures. They say, well, I don't understand how people could miss this when the scriptures say this. I don't understand how people could not get it or miss it. But here I am clearly telling them and showing them the principle of Yahweh wants us to be as healthy as possible and go to the extreme for our Creator and not tempt with the enemy and just take chances on our health and so on and do things we shouldn't be doing and to overcome our addictions. But those same people miss that. You know, people say, I don't understand how people miss this. And I talk about the outer body, about modesty and about dressing a certain way and presenting ourselves in a certain way in a uniform of Yeshua and representing ourselves as believers. But people completely miss that one. You see, we have to get this right. And how much more can I say it? Listen, folks, when you walk in a supermarket, there's only one aisle you should be spending the majority of your time in. There's only one aisle that is safe in a supermarket. There's only one aisle that is safe in a supermarket or a grocery. That is the aisle that is filled with Yahweh's creation and not man's creation. How much clearer can I say that? With Yahweh's creation and not man's creation. Let me put it more clearly. If it comes in a bag, box, container, or a can, most likely it wasn't something that Yahweh created and shouldn't be in your body. The only wrapping around the food you eat should come in the skin that comes around a vegetable or a fruit. And not all of the stuff in the boxes and everything else. We need to get to a point where we understand the importance of eating according to the way our Creator designed us to eat and the way He designed our bodies. And the reason I say this is just because I say this all the time, just because we can get away with doing something for a long time or have gotten away with doing something for a long time is not a reason to keep doing it when we find out it's not good for us. A lot of people make excuses. Well, I've gotten away with this for this long, so I must be one of those exceptions. No, think about Yahweh's mercy and His grace. Just because you've gotten away with doing something a long time that shouldn't be done isn't an excuse to keep doing it when you find out it's wrong. And this is what people do. Now, part of it is the addiction of what they're already addicted to, what they've been doing for too long. And then some of them try to substitute it for something else. Yahweh has put people here to help us in certain areas of our life. Certain people struggle with money. Yahweh has certain people in the family, in the congregation, in the assemblies, who understand how to handle money, who understand how to get people out of debt. And they have information on the radios how to do that. They have talk how to do that. But a lot of people don't want to listen to that. There are peoples that are so used to their own sorrows and their own negative lives and all the things that are going on in their lives that they're not willing to make a change. They're not willing to change it. And just as they seem that they want to get out of their distress, they find comfort in their sorrows. And this is a bad place to be. This is the place where the enemy wants people to be. You know, and the education now through the internet and everywhere else is more easy to get than ever before in the history of man. And people contact me all the time with all these different diseases and everything else. You don't have to look far. Open up your medicine cabinet. If you think you're doing well, open up your medicine cabinet and see how many medications are in there. If you desire to do well, open up your kitchen cabinet. Do you have some fruits or vegetables there, or do you have a bunch of boxes and containers? Things like this. Open up your window and look outside and see the birds flying in the air. See the squirrels jumping from tree to tree. You give them the diet that you're eating and they won't even be able to get off the ground. This is what we're doing to ourselves. It says in Isaiah 24:5, the earth suffers for the sins of its people, for they have twisted Yahweh's instructions, violated His laws, and broke His everlasting covenant. It's time we understood and we did something about it. Just because you're young is not an excuse not to take care of your bodies. The investment you make in your health now will determine your health later on in life. And if you're older, the investment what you're doing now in your health is going to save your life. We have to take action. And I say this because when I go and visit people who I know, and congregations I know, people that have heard my message, and I see what they're doing, it can only be a spiritual attack to keep these people weighed down, to see how bad everything's happening. And I can't be more outspoken against these things than I have been. But people just don't want to listen. And it's not only that, not only the physical food we're putting in our body, but all of the talk I give about the attitude, the gratitude, the physical food, the spiritual food about fasting, taking care of our bodies and exercising and doing all these different things. You know, and you know, we can still suffer from diseases. We can still have some health issues. But we have a responsibility to go, walk, and represent Yahshua in every area of our life. You know, and I'd much rather see people in a doctor's office evangelizing than waiting for some test because they don't know if they're going to be here tomorrow or not. We have this responsibility to read Yahweh's word. And when it says what the food is for man, to acknowledge what the food is, the Bible's an open book test, right? It's an open book test. So we have the information right there of what we are to eat, how to eat it, when to eat it, and what to do with it. And then we walk through those doors in a supermarket, and we have control over where we step to, over where we go to. Do we run all the way to the back corner of the store and go to the milk aisle to get our milk? Do we go to the cheese aisle to look for the cheese? You know, do we go to the cash register and order some cigarettes? Do we go to the alcohol aisle and go get some beer and alcohol? That's another one. That's a big one. I tell people about, you know, alcohol is wicked. It's of the enemy. There's nothing good that comes from it. It's not healthy in any way. There's nothing good. I don't care if you want to call it wine, beer, or martini. Liquor is liquor, and alcohol is alcohol, and it's not good for us. And I tell people this, I show people this, and you can prove this to people. And well, let's say, well, it's not a sin according to scripture. And they had wine in the Bible, and alcohol and strong drink were given at this feast and all this. If you have to defend eating unhealthy or drinking or smoking or doing drugs, there are so-called believers, they're really make believers, so-called believers that are out there saying that it's okay to smoke pot because it's a green herb and herbs are good. And if I have to have a debate with somebody to show them why it's not good to do these different things, well, as long as you don't get drunk, it's okay to drink. No, drinking is no good for your body at all, ever, under any other circumstance. It's not good for you. It's not good for your health. It's not good for your mind, but it's not a sin. Well, what about the scriptures that say do not to be of a sound mind? You know what? Well, I could have a little, but not. Well, you know what? If you've worked up to that point where you could just have a little, at some point you couldn't have that. I don't drink, so if I have one sip, does that mean I'm an overindulger? Can I work up and build up a habit to that? You know, and when people want to pull out scriptures to go against these different things, you know, and just try to twist things around and defend what they're doing. Look, I know without a doubt, eating animal products today causes heart disease, causes cancer, and causes all these other illnesses. I know without a doubt, the evidence is out there overwhelmingly that these eating animal products and eating animals cause heart disease, cancer, and all these other diseases. And I tell people this. I go into a church and I tell people this. Genesis 1:29 was the food we were designed to eat. Our teeth, our hands, our body, our stomachs, our intestines. We were created to eat fruits and vegetables. Can we eat animal meat and get away with it? Yes. Can somebody eat animals and not get disease? Yes. But these are known to be causes of these different things. So what do people say? Well, it's not a sin. Well, it's not a sin. Good for you, but it's not ideal for you. I can mention a lot of things in scripture that aren't technically a sin that you wouldn't necessarily go run out and want to do, that aren't ideal with you, for you. But people want to defend. They want to defend these different things. And it's not about, is it a sin or is not a sin? Is it good for my body? Yahweh created me. Is it good for me? And I understand, because of lack of education, people think, well, I need to get my protein, or how can I get be healthy without this stuff? I get it. I understand that. But that's why there's information out there to help you understand that the food that I created designed for us to be there, the food in the produce aisle, is there for a reason. And we can eat it and live on it with no problem. Look, you cannot live on strictly eating boxed foods, candy, cakes, cookies, or even animal meat. But you can live strictly on fruits and vegetables and nuts and seeds. And we have great examples of that in nature. But there's the habits that we've created and the brainwashing that takes place out there. You know, a big part of it is television. I don't even watch television, but you see all these commercials and then these news reports that are sponsored by the meat and dairy industry saying we need this and milk builds strong bones and all these other different things and everything else. It's a shame. It's a shame. You know, so when I walk into an assembly or congregation, and most of the people that are overweight, most of the people that are immodest, if they're drinking alcohol there, if they're, you know, I look at the table and see what they're eating, and I think, what spirit are you listening to that would tell you that this stuff is good for you? You know, I went recently to a congregation. It was absolutely not one thing on the table that I could eat. Not one thing on the table that I could eat. And then you get into the worship of caffeine, and whether it's coffee or chocolate or whatever else, one of the worst substances you could put in your body is coffee. And then he said, well, we can't have this fellow come back here and speak. You know, we can't have him come back here and speak because he's messing up our stuff, because some people might question this. You know, oh, I tell people, get rid of your coffee containers and put a juice bar there or something, or get some juice there or something. People, well, we can't do that. That would be a problem. You know, what's the problem? What's the problem? Having some carrot juice instead of some coffee is going to give you a lot more energy. It won't give you that stimulation from the drug of caffeine, but it'll give you energy. And people joke with me, we love our coffee. We love our beer. What spirit are people listening to out there today? What spirit are people listening out there today? And the only reason people aren't smoking inside the churches and a congregation is because the government law had to come and tell them not to. They had to make a law to say, well, you're not allowed to smoke indoors or do this stuff or do these different things. Let me tell you this. A so-called believer who smokes cigarettes is and some people might think that doesn't look normal or something's wrong about that, but it's no different than a believer who drinks alcohol. It's not a sin to smoke cigarettes, according to the Torah. It's not a sin, but you're killing yourself. It's not a sin to drink alcohol, but you're killing yourself. You're destroying your body. You're destroying your body. You're destroying your health. Well, a little is okay, and a little is... Well, how do you know what a little is? What's your marker? Until you pass that line, is that how you figured it out? How do you know what too little is too little? Well, they allowed it in the scriptures, so it must be okay for me, so I'm going to keep doing it. When are people going to stop defending their addictions and start getting right and start eating healthier? You know, I mean, what's going to be better if you walk into a congregation and you see the pastor on there on stage and he's overweight, and you see more people interested in the food than they are in the word, and there's more prayer for healing of sickness than any other topic there, as opposed to walking into a congregation where the pastor looks nice and healthy, and the congregation, everyone there looks nice and healthy, and they're dressed nice and modest, and they're all focused on the word. You know, maybe they're fasting and praying, and they're not even thinking about the food that day, but if they are and the food comes out, it's food from the garden, fresh foods, and maybe they have a fresh little juice bar. What's going to be better for your children? What would you rather have there for your children? Soda or some carrot apple juice or something? What do you think is going to be better for your children? Your kids, that some of your kids are overweight. Your children overweight. That's on the parents. Kids aren't responsible for what they're putting in their bodies. It's the parents that need to control what the kids are putting in their body. And as I mentioned earlier, it's not a sin to use a microwave oven. It's not a sin. This is not in Torah. It's not in Scripture. It's not transgression of the law, because there's no law about microwave ovens. It's one of the worst ways you can prepare your food, is to use a microwave oven. You know, but people want to defend these things. And I just pray that, I pray for you all out there. I really do. And if anyone does want my teachings that I feel are scriptural, if you want to learn how to build up your body, I make that available to you on my website. And just remember, during the scriptural times, Moses lived to 120 years old, and he wasn't confined to a bed. He was climbing mountains. He was climbing mountains at 120. You know, and he didn't even have the best. He was in the wilderness. And he did with what he could, with what he had. 3 John 1 and 2 says, "Dear friend, I hope it's always well with you, and that you are as healthy in body as you are in spirit." That you are healthy in body as you are in spirit. And that's one of my prayers here for you today, is that you're healthy in body as you are in spirit. Hallelujah. Let's stop making an idol out of our food. Let's stop and get away from our addictions and the things that are controlling us. And look at the role models of Scripture, you know, that talk about, like even King Solomon, "Feed me with food convenient for me, lest I be fallen, deny thee, and say, take the name of my Elohim in vain."
Come out of the world, oh my people.
You have been listening to Torah Life Ministries with your host, Paul Nisan. If you would like to learn more, please visit TorahLifeMinistries.org or call 917-407-2270. This program is made possible by the generous support of listeners like you. To donate, visit the website at TorahLifeMinistries.org or send your gift to P.O. Box 5503, Lake Worth, Florida 33466. And thank you for your prayers and generous support.
Torah Life Ministry.
Baruch Hashem Adonai. Blessed is the name of the Lord. This is Cynthia West with For Such a Time as This. Let him who has ears to hear what the Spirit is saying. Ezekiel chapter 44, verse 23. The priests shall teach my people the difference between the holy and the common or profane, and cause them to distinguish between the unclean and the clean. Again, Ezekiel chapter 44, verse 23. The priests shall teach my people the difference between the holy and the common or profane, and cause them